Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, AJ, the first thing is his size and strength. That's the one thing that separates him from a lot of receivers. But not only that, like when he catches the ball, you know, he turns it to a different gear, right? His run after catch, it's been pretty dynamic to watch this year. So that's where he's separate. He's big, where he can go down the field and make plays on the deep balls, but also he's just catching the 5-yard routes.
That's DeMeco Ryans talking about A.J. Brown, of course, the stud receiver acquired by Philly from the Tennessee Titans, and he's been kind of an impact guy since he was drafted in the second round out of Ole Miss. I remember a play, Vinny, back in 2020 against the Ravens at M&T Bank Stadium, where he drugged, I think, literally three players into the end zone to tie the game, and that's the eventual game where Derrick Henry got past Derek Wolfe and just kind of ran in to win it in overtime. He is a big, fast, physical, by definition, number one receiver.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is like, what do the Ravens have the worst in the league almost? Yak yards, and that's what we heard DeMeco talking about. You know, what he does so well, what we've seen, is the yak yards. You know, I mean, Bob, everything you said, he's big. He's same thing DeMeco said, big, strong, physical. He's got mitts. He's got huge, strong hands, you know, and the ability to go up. And he's got size, and he's not easy to tackle. So, yeah, I mean, he's made Devontae Smith. He made the quarterback a MVP candidate.
Yep. So we talk about that level of acquisition for the Ravens, but we've got plenty of time to address what Eric DaCosta may or may not do there. Fletcher Cox, he talks about Brock Purdy and what has stood out about him so far. He's undefeated, for crying out loud.
I mean, just consistent, you know. I think the biggest thing you see on tape with him is, you know, he don't really put the team in harm's way. You know, if the look is not there that he won't, obviously, you know, he's throwing the ball away and just not making a lot of mistakes. So I think that's a lot that stands out on tape about him.
That's the thing. I mean, and that's huge. That's a huge statement right there. I mean, because, you know, what was Josh Allen doing over the last few weeks? Turning the ball over. And that's the thing that, you know, why they can continue to keep winning is, you know, they've got a phenomenal defense, and they're not putting them in bad positions. They're making teams go 80 yards. So, yeah, Brock Purdy, the best thing he can do is, if he doesn't turn the ball over, Niners got a good chance to win that game.
Yeah, and he and Jalen Hurts went at it when they were in college, Purdy at Iowa
Cyclones,
State.
And when
Hurts was at Oklahoma, and, you know, typical Big 12, balls flying all over the place. Purdy, I believe, threw 5 touchdown passes in that game. It's Vinny at 81.057 The Fan. NFL Lunch, George Kittle. Ever since Purdy took over, Kittle's really taken off with the touchdown and big play production at that position. But George Kittle was asked if the Eagles and 49ers, how are they going to match up here physically?
I mean, they've got 6 first-round draft picks on the D-line. They've got a really good secondary. They've got physical guys at linebacker. So, yeah, I mean, whatever you see on paper, sure. It's the NFL. When you look at paper, it should be like, oh, yeah, we can match their physicality and stuff like that. And then you get on the field on Sundays and the film after the game will show you exactly what you're asking. So
it'll be one of those slobber knocker kind of games. Crowd's going to be charged up. Both teams going in very confident in their chances to win. And, you know, George Kittle's about as physical as it gets as a player at his position.
Oh, he's a phenomenal blocker. Phenomenal blocker. And how about that catch he made against Cowboys over the middle? You know, that juggling act that he had. No, it's going to be it's going to be a physical game. I mean, you look at Dallas, their physicality, they didn't show up physicality. With Buffalo, they were soft, you know. So the more physical team is a team that's going to advance. And that's why, you know, when you hear Harbs, you know, that's what he expects out of his team all the time is, you know, we've got to be the most physical team. That's who we are. You know, that's our city. You hear Harbs say that all the time.
Right.
You know, that type of player.
Now, Christian McCaffrey, you know, a little bit banged up right now. It's
not
calf.
Practicing.
Was
not,
calf, I believe it is?
Yeah, calf and not practicing all week.
So, Christian McCaffrey, he said, no chance that I won't play, but he was asked also about the specific challenges he sees going up against that Philly defense.
They have a good pass rush, and then their DBs play well in timing, and their back, you know, all the things I said earlier, they fly to the ball well. You know, they have a good pass rush, so that helps a lot. You know, for us, it's just about executing the play call, though. Kyle knows all that stuff, and he knows exactly where he wants to go with the ball. It's just up to us to be able to go out there, do it full speed, and play beyond the X's and O's.
Well, the biggest thing with Kyle is to be able to play full speed and be around in the second half and the fourth quarter, you know, because I'm guessing both these games may come down to fourth quarter stuff, and it's who's making plays in the fourth quarter, and McCaffrey's got the ability to make those kind of plays, whether it be because, Bob, I mean, look at what they like to do with him. Put him in the backfield. They line him up at wide receiver. They put him in the slot. They do so many things with him. So if he's missing, you know, they lose a big piece of that offense. And, you know, and like it sounds like listening to him like, yeah, Kyle, he watches all that stuff, you know, and he's going to – we know when Kyle calls a play, he's putting us in the best position for us to make plays, so all we got to do is go make a play.
Yeah, and Kyle, we trust. And during the regular season, 49ers gave up 31 sacks. Purdy was sacked 11 times in 9 games, and then he's been sacked 3 times in 2 postseason games. And Philly, as we talked about, I mean, 70 sacks.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 guys in double digits. So as good as – and Trent Williams is the best left tackle in football. I mean, as good as they are – that's a tall order right there.
That's why I think there's going to be a lot of bootlegs, you know, by Purdy. I think Kyle's going to try to take advantage of their speed and their quickness as rushers and use misdirection and stuff. So I think, you know, and he'll do some sprint out passing to get the ball out quick. He's going to want to get the ball out, especially early. And then if they're having success running, I'm talking to Niners, if they're having success running, then we're going to see play action pass. Then we're going to see the deep shots.
58-81-05-7 The Fan. It is NFL Lunch. When we come back, we're going to do our picks. Nolan McGraw is going to get in here. Right now, he's the leader in the playoff version of the booze chase. Vinny won handily during the regular season. Nolan finished second. I finished last. Vinny and Nolan have flipped. I'm still in last. Something's got to change. We're doing picks next at Cordell Woodland. We'll talk Ravens and playoffs with him, bottom of the hour. And then Mr. Excitement, Nolan McGraw, Smiling Norm, as we now call him. He's going to take us through his funhouse before Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Featured Artist Friday. We are at Jones Bel Air Nissan. We've been here throughout the morning, now into the afternoon. We are here until 2 o'clock. So stop by, say hello if you can. If not, they're still open, and they're still selling cars, and they're still giving great deals, which we'll tell you about later on in the program. But right now, let's bring in Nolan McGraw. Nolan, what is up?
How we doing? I'm feeling good. I know that, but you guys got a little work to do.
Well, all right, don't start popping.
And Norm, guess what? You're going first.
That's right. I agree with you. If you didn't say it, I was going to bring it up, because that was my gripe last year, and that was your gripe in the regular season. Whoever's leading should have to go first, right?
Yep.
It's fair to the people trying to catch up.
All right. Anyway, what we're doing here on the show, for those new to the program, we do our picks, Vinny, myself, and Nolan McGraw, throughout the year. And whoever gets the most right, whoever wins, gets booze. Vinny got himself $60 worth of wine, which he's already consumed.
Two bottles.
So now we're back postseason. It's half of that here during the playoff chase. And Nolan McGraw, give everyone an update on the standings. Who's leading? Is it mathematically impossible to catch you?
Everyone is still very much in it. And remind people that beyond just these two conference championship games and the Super Bowl, to make things a little more interesting, because there could be tiebreaker scenarios, we'll throw in some Super Bowl prop bets like we did last year, just to try to break things up a little bit, because no one wants a tie, right? But anyway.
It's like kissing your sister. Right?
That's one way to put it. Postseason standings. I'm out in front at 10-1. Vinny right there behind me, 9-2. And Bob, 7-4.
Right. So I have some work to do, and I'm definitely going to have to take advantage of those props, unless you guys totally crap the bed with what's happening in the championship games. And as we start, we'll do it with the NFC, San Francisco 49ers, red hot, undefeated with Brock Purdy as the quarterback, going to Philly, taking on the number one seed, Eagles. Philadelphia -2.5, by the way, new to the show. Spreads are just for entertainment purposes only. We're just picking winners and losers. So, Nolan McGraw, who do you have in the NFC Championship game?
Well, I like the Eagles here, and I could see this being a very low-scoring affair, maybe not as bad as the 49ers-Dallas game we saw last week, but maybe not living up to some of the expectations people might want, or a rematch of, you talk about that Iowa State-Oklahoma matchup between these two quarterbacks, Hurts and Purdy, the shootout that was. I don't think we're going to see that by any means, but I like the Eagles here. Defensive battle, still giving the edge to the Eagles.
By the way, over under is 46. So Vinny, who do you have in this one? San Francisco at Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, I want to take the Eagles too. You know, I mean, they're home, number one. They played great last week and pretty much got everybody healthy. Quarterback's playing good. He's healthier now. I'm going to take the Eagles. You know, I want the Niners to win, but I'm going to take the Eagles.
Well, you guys have made it easy for me now. Yeah. I'm taking San Francisco because I got to gain a game. And to be honest,
how many prop bets do we do, Bob?
I'll leave that up to Norm.
Just because I figure I'll have some time to catch up if I'm
right. I mean, I'm not. It's not going to be anything super crazy, but roughly maybe like five.
Are we going to do like the longest anthem and all that stuff?
Well, I think last year we did what? Coin toss. That's a good 50-50 one. Gatorade color was one we did.
Oh yeah.
I think we did some stuff related to the halftime show. There's others.
How long? Length of the halftime, I think, wasn't it?
Or length of the anthem, that was one too, yeah.
Yeah. How many minutes will Bob watch the halftime show? It's 0, 0, or 0. But anyway, I'm going with San Francisco because I need to catch that game. I think they can win.
Yeah.
It's all, to me, the key will be, can Philly get to Purdy? If they protect him or keep him upright consistently enough,
yeah,
I think they'll have enough in the weaponry there. Because I believe McCaffrey will play, and if he doesn't, Elijah Mitchell can do some things. So I'm going to go with San Francisco there, gentlemen and ladies in the listening audience. Cincinnati at Kansas City. The Chiefs are one-point favorites. Patrick Mahomes at practice. He said yesterday he's playing. Said he feels better than even he thought he was going to feel. Cincinnati trying to make it to their second consecutive Super Bowl. If the Kansas City Chiefs make it, it'll be their third in 4 years. So what do you got there, Nolan McGraw?
My expert analysis here worked hard on this one. Nobody beats the Chiefs 4 times in a row. There's that. Would have said nobody beats them 3 times in a row, but we're bumping it up to 4. I do like the Chiefs here. Bengals doing a lot of trash talk this week. It's kind of become their MO at this point, but Chiefs, they've got plenty to prove as well, and they definitely have that revenge factor in the back of their mind.
All right, since he took the Chiefs, I'm going to take the Bengals. You know, I mean, the Bengals have beat them 3 times with a healthy Mahomes, and Mahomes is not going to be totally healthy. They've played in that environment before, and their defense, I'm talking Kansas City's, you know, Burrow's kind of picked them apart. So I'm sticking with the Bengals trying to make up a game.
I'm going to go with Kansas City, even though Mahomes will be, 70%, if that. He's still good enough to make some plays. We talked about it with Nate Davis,
yep.
McKinnon, you know, try to get him back involved. Pacheco's been a steal.
Yes, he has.
As a seventh-round draft pick. You know, Travis Kelce's the best tight end in football. At least he proved it again this season. I think Chris Jones could be a major factor in this game.
Yep, big time.
I think that Cincinnati O-line could be in for a long
day. Hey, Bob, how about the impact of 2 seventh-round picks in this final four.
Oh, yeah. Purdy and Pacheco.
Yeah.
Well, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
First rounder.
And Trey Lance is hurt, but you get the point here, everybody. I am going with the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Cincinnati Bengals, and that'll set up a rematch of Super Bowl 3 years ago, Kansas City and San Francisco. So, to recap, Norm, who are we doing here? So the people know.
Right, both games here.
Rooting interest. They're 49. Not getting any of my beer, but you get the point.
Correct. 49ers versus Eagles. Vinny and myself, we're going Philly. Bob has the Niners in that one. And then Bengals, Chiefs. Vinny's got the Bengals. Bob and myself with Kansas City.
All right. When we come back, Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us, shaking it up sports. You can hear weeknights on The Fan. Of course, he's our Orioles, Ravens, Terps reporter as well. Get his thoughts on the championship games, which you can hear on Sunday starting at 2 o'clock. 105.7 The Fan. And the Ravens off season. It's kind of slowed down a little bit. I mean, other teams are hiring. The Ravens still looking for the replacement for Giro. Lamar, all quiet on that front, at least for now. I'm sure that noise will start getting loud sooner rather than later.
Taking sports to a whole new level. 105.7 The Fan.
How can you stop the sun from shining?
A little football music for you. 880-1057 The Fan. We're live from Jones, Bel Air, Eastside for another half hour. We're selling cars all day. Stop by and say hello to us, however. Before we get out of here, Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Joining us now on the Ashley Furniture Hotline to talk Ravens and preview the championship games with him. Shaking it up sports. You can hear weeknights on The Fan. And he's Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's going on, man?
What's up, fellas?
All right, before we get to the Ravens and the OC search and Lamar's money, because we like to count it. Of course, I can't take care of my own, but I'll count his for him. I went with San Francisco and Kansas City, a rematch of the Super Bowl 3 years ago. And to be a reality, you could flip a coin, it seems. Any one of these teams is certainly capable of winning this weekend and certainly winning the Super Bowl. But we'll start with you, the NFC Championship game. Who gets the nod and why?
You know, I think the NFC Championship game is probably going to be the most tug-of-war of the two games this weekend. These two teams are so identical in a lot of ways. Both can run the ball. Both have really good offensive lines. Both dominant defensively. And they can both hurt you in the pass game. I mean, I think it's going to boil. And the one thing that I think is also a key common factor between both teams is that neither of them really turn the ball over a lot. So you got two teams that don't really hurt themselves. And it's going to, I think it's going to come down to the last possession, which one of these two teams, which one of these two defenses more so, can end up making the impact play, I think, late in the game to get themselves a win. Ultimately, I got to go with San Francisco. I just feel like they have so many weapons on that team, and they have so many different ways to beat you. Not that Philly doesn't, but I like the fact that everybody's talking about Christian McCaffrey's calf injury, and it's possibly a concern, but nobody's really mentioning Elijah Mitchell being back in that backfield. I think he gives them that ability to be able to really go have the run game go through him to kind of use McCaffrey in other ways. So I think that'll end up being the factor. Elijah Mitchell, I think, is going to have a good day. I think the San Francisco 49ers come out with the win.
Now you're a smart man, Cordell. Now in the AFC, rather, I took Kansas City over Cincinnati. Big play offenses, both of them, for sure. I think, and keep in mind I finished last in the picks, but I think Chris Jones is going to be a big difference maker in this game. What say Cordell Woodland?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Chris Jones is possibly the best defensive lineman in football this season. I mean, he is just a problem all across the board. And, we got to give the Bengals offensive line credit. That was the biggest question mark going into the game last week against Buffalo. And, you know, they more than held their own. In fact, I would also say their defensive line was really good against Buffalo. That was one of the key contributors for them in that win. They just out-physical the Bills in a way that you're not used to seeing many teams do. That said, I think that the Chiefs are going to get them this time. You know, the Joe Burrow's 3-0 against Mahomes and these guys, and I don't think that, you know, they're going into this game not knowing that. I think Mahomes you know, wants this game more than anybody. Because when you think about it, out of all the young quarterbacks, Mahomes is kind of like sitting on the throne, so to speak. I don't think anybody is really at the point now where it's like Patrick Mahomes is kind of getting his cape tugged a little bit, at least individually. But when it comes to Joe Burrow, he is not afraid of Patrick Mahomes. He goes in there, and it doesn't matter where these two teams play, they beat him. I think Mahomes wants to break that stigma. I think the Chiefs find a way to win.
Hey, Cordell, you know what I'm kind of glad of is since Eric and John's press conference on Thursday, you know, we're kind of anticipating like some type of reaction on Twitter or whatever from Lamar, and nothing's come out, which to me is a very good sign that there's nothing going on in the media. I like that, because if things go out around in the media, you know, he said, she said, and then it's a cluster, Franklin.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, to their credit, they didn't really say anything at the press conference that I would imagine that Lamar would have an issue with, or that Lamar would feel like he has to come out and, you know, give his side of the story or something like that. I thought that they were politically correct all throughout the press conference. They said all the right things, all the things you would want to hear if you're Lamar. And, you know, I think Lamar's kind of just going to let this thing play out. But, yeah, we've seen Lamar go to Twitter and Instagram to kind of voice his opinion on various topics. But right now, you know, I think everybody's just kind of in that period where they're unwinding. They're kind of separating themselves after the season is over. And I still think Lamar's is going to take it day by day.
Now, I think personally, Cordell, that he's going to be franchised. That's what I personally think. And then I think one of the biggest things, you know, for the new offensive coordinator, and then I think it's smart for a number of reasons why you have Lamar involved, because the biggest thing that the coordinator's got to do to get across to Lamar is, you know, you need to be at the mini camp. You know, you need to be there because we're installing new stuff, and we're installing new stuff to help you in the pass game, you know, or if you're not going to come, let us come to you, you know, and let us come down there. Let the receivers, let you know, whoever the new receiver is going to be in Bateman, you know, in Duvernay, let them go down, because he needs to be able to learn that new offense. Otherwise, you know, Cordell, he's not going to be of much help for 3 weeks or so when the season starts. The first three games of the season, he's not even going to know the offense.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of things going on. Everything is centered around Lamar and what he's going to do this next year. And I think, you know, you're right. It's going to be kind of a hiccup for the offensive coordinator and this offense in general if Lamar, it does indeed end up holding out or missing time and isn't able to be there for all the key install days and actually getting caught up to speed with this new offense. So, and honestly, I don't know if Lamar – I don't know if that conversation alone is going to be anything that changes Lamar's mind or whether he shows up to training camp or mini camp or anything like that. And I don't think Lamar knows today what he plans to do yet, to be honest with you. He could, you know, I think he's going to really wait up until that time and decide, and not decide until he absolutely has to, because this isn't an easy decision to make. This isn't a guy that I think wants to miss time. You know, I think for him to actually get to the point to where he's skipping mini camp and training camp, it's going to be a big decision for him to do that. So I don't think that's something he takes lightly. I do believe he wants to be out there, but I also think he's kind of in that limbo situation to where he has to he understands that he has to do something to kind of do whatever he feels like he believes he has to do to get the deal he's looking for. And if that means holding out, so be it. But we'll see how it unfolds. But I think either way, Lamar is going to be put in an uncomfortable position, whether he shows up or doesn't.
Now, Cordell, I don't think it's going to happen. But we had one caller call in, you know, and it made me, you know, I'd have to think about that, you know, because the caller called in and said that that if the Bears traded Justin Fields to you and gave you the number one pick for Lamar, would you do that? Now, because, you know, that would make me think, Cordell, that one would make me have to have a little discussion, just because with that number one pick, I can trade back a couple times and I can get a lot of, you know, picks. And I got, you know, a cheap quarterback for a few more years.
Yeah, it does. It definitely makes you think a little bit. Very similar skill set, Lamar and Justin Fields.
But then I'd want to keep Romo. Then I'd want G-Ro back.
I mean, that's the thing. You can't go back and call G-Ro up and tell him to turn around while he's halfway up the highway. I'm pretty sure he's long gone. He's probably not even going to answer the phone at that point anyway. So, yeah, you kind of are going to have to change what, you know, your idea of what you thought this offense was going to be, considering Justin Fields isn't the same player that Lamar is right now at his current stage. He's a very gifted runner, without a doubt. But as in terms of a passer, he hasn't developed all the way to the point that Lamar has in that regard. So I still think even if you do that deal, you're still going to have to get some weapons in here. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They got to have somebody to throw the ball to on the outside. So it wouldn't change much for me there. But I agree. If that offer was to come up, it would at least, you know, make me think about it. I'm not right. ready to say I would do it, but right. I can't sit here and say I wouldn't at least have a little pause and need to think.
Now, Cordell, are you in the same camp with me and Bob that what I want to do to go get a receiver, I want to do what Philly did. I'm going to exhaust all options to use my 22nd pick to get a young guy. D-Hop, I don't want an old guy, you know, that I got to pay $25 million to. I want a young guy that I got to pay $20 million to. That's not a problem. You know, that's my number one thing. If I'm Eric, I'm trying to, you know, look at those teams. Who's got cap problems? Who's in a rebuild? Who's got to pay a younger receiver that, you know, wants to move their guy?
Yeah, I mean, that would be more than ideal. If you could find a way to get a Mike Evans, or, you know, to find a way to get one of these other young, it's hard for me to think off the top of my head any young receivers that, you know, would be potentially available that you would want to put at your number one receiver spot right now. As I'm looking across these teams, it's hard, other than Mike Evans, maybe Michael Thomas, but even that's a big, you know, question mark with him and his injury concern over the last couple of years. So I don't know. If Mike Evans is probably the best of that bunch, but I'm not opposed to D-Hop. But, yeah, you're right. You're going to have to give him a new deal. You bring D-Hop in. The age doesn't necessarily scare me, because I still think he is a high-producing wide receiver that's very quarterback-friendly.
Me and Haney want Michael Pittman Jr.
Michael Pittman, I don't mind Michael Pittman. I got to see Michael Pittman in a different offense, though. I don't, you know, the way that the Colts use him isn't necessarily wowing to me personally. I do think he's a gifted receiver, big, strong, he's got good hands, can run routes. But the Colts in their quick passing game, he doesn't necessarily put up the numbers that maybe he would put up if he was in a different scheme that allowed him to actually run some routes with more depth. So I just probably need to get a look at Michael Pittman in a different scheme to really judge him. But yeah, if you could get a big body, one of these young receivers to come in, sure. I'm still not opposed to D-Hop, because at least you know for sure what you're getting with him.
He's Cordell Woodland, shaking it up sports weeknights on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the championship games this weekend.
Appreciate it, guys. Try to sell some cars.
We're trying. We're working on it.
Speaking of which, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We are live from Jones Bel Air Nissan.
Vinny and Haney. On your home for sports, 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I kind of figured this would be the song. Close out the show. We'll stay alive. BG's Featured Artist Friday is chosen by you, the people. As we've heard throughout the day, their depth goes way beyond disco. They were hit makers back in the 60s, contemporaries of the Beatles and the Stones. And then they started unbuttoning their shirts and singing like this. Dancing along with the judge. And you get the hits.
Yeah.
Nolan, what's your weekend plans here? We got Championship Sunday, games you can hear on the Fan. I also hear the Maryland game tomorrow, 4:30, against the mayor, Fred Hoiberg, and his Nebraska Cornhuskers. Maryland, with a win, gets back to .500 in the league.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to start my weekend by clipping that little bit of you singing right there. Hold that against you, a little blackmail for you.
Better than some of these ass wipes that sing around.
Oh, hey now.
Auto-tune.
Come on now.
Give me some auto-tune and make me a star, Nolan.
All right.
You don't want me to unbutton my shirt, though.
No. We could all do without that. Let your quarter zip down
a
little bit more.
See my one chest hair, which right. I think is gray.
Yeah, low-key weekend for me. I'll be watching the Terps tomorrow. I'll be watching football on Sunday. That's about it. I know you guys were all expecting me to have something crazy for you.
Hey, Bob, how many Fridays have we heard, Nolan, what are you doing this week? Oh, it's going to be a quiet weekend. Just going to be laying around the house watching. The dude never, I think he's lying.
I think he's going to the old Spittoon Bucket Inn in Shepherdstown, PA, or wherever he lives. Yeah. And he's out there
totally a real place, by the way. Yeah.
And picking up the lovely ladies.
Yeah. There is a new, I would say.
Going to the strip joint in York, PA tonight.
No, oh, God. That's a nightmare right there. And York? I've heard the ones in Harrisburg, York, they're a nightmare. You got to go a bigger city for something better.
They use literally a toothbrush.
They have summer teeth.
Yeah, summer here, summer there. But I'm not one that can get into it. So I'm not one to talk about teeth because I'm challenged in the chiclet area myself. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. Let's go to that fun house of yours.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, give them a call today. 443-348-8812.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here, a question from our friend Antonio, says, do you guys think that Felix Bautista will be capable of pitching the same way he did last year, or was that kind of a one-year wonder type of thing?
No, I think they've kind of awakened the beast that he always was. They just harnessed his control. He threw strikes, kind of faded down the stretch a little bit, maybe from fatigue. But I think Felix Bautista, he came in and performed better than Lopi did. They flip for a prospect. I like old big boy.
And what, year one to year two, basically, with the organization. But the confidence that he's walking into at this spring training than last spring training, he's walking in with his head held high that he's a dude.
He's
you know?
The guy. Yeah. It'd be interesting, however, to see if CNL Perez can duplicate what he did.
Yep.
We saw Crable and some guys get roughed up. Maybe one of the reasons that Michael Givens is back.
Well, as far as the Ravens' next offensive coordinator, a texter here says, whoever that person may be, I would like to see them on the sidelines a little more than up in the booth. Someone that can kind of feel the emotions of the game, talk to the guys on the sideline.
That's up to the coordinator, where he's most comfortable. Because, you got to go where he's the most comfortable and feels the most comfortable calling plays. Some guys like to be on the sideline so they can talk to their guys. Some guys like to be up in a box. I watched Mike Shanahan up in a box, and he was spectacular, So, to me, whatever the guy needs to do to go score points, hey, you have at it.
As far as promoting from within, Texter here agrees, not a fan of that. He thinks that that would probably give you a guy a little too similar to Greg Roman, a little more focused on the run game. Go outside, you get a whole new perspective on things.
Totally agree. You're kind of learning the passing offense of, what's going on in the league.
And if you're James Urban, for instance, using him as the example, he's the quarterback coach, but yet Lamar's always had someone from outside the organization kind of mentoring him, and I understand there are rules or whatever that need to be followed. But I think if Urban doesn't get the job, other than unemployment, I'm like, what the hell am I staying here for?
This one here says, I hear you guys about wanting a Pittman type of receiver, but to me, getting another young guy basically tells Bateman, we don't believe in you. Texter goes on to say, I think you need more of a veteran presence. Think of the Derek Masons, the Anquan Boldin, Steve Smiths, for example.
Well, look at what A.J. Brown did for Devonta Smith. So, to me, I don't...
Tyreek Hill for Waddle?
Yeah, I don't buy that one bit. I want the guy. Throwing Pittman out. The dude had 99 catches. He's going into year four. Bateman's going into year, three? Yeah, so I don't have a problem with that at all.
And last one here says, you can talk about getting a wide receiver that can hit those home runs all you want. Still have to have somebody that can deliver the deep ball. Jackson not that guy?
Well, I think to get good at the deep ball, yeah, I mean, you know, we say Lamar can't throw the deep ball. I mean, hell, what do they throw it? Once every two games? I mean, you gotta throw it to get good at it. You know, I mean, you throw it all the time you want in practice, but you got to throw it in the game. So I think if they throw it more, he'll get better at it.
Speedy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Monday. We'll know then who's going to the Super Bowl. We'll be talking about Maryland, hopefully a win tomorrow against Nebraska. Start counting down the days a little bit more to pitchers and catchers. Continue to break down the American League East. We're going to get ready for the Senior Bowl, too, which is next week. So we'll start bringing some of our familiar names. Ryan Wilson's going to be there. Tony Pauline. We'll reach out to him. Three Terps will be down there for the Senior Bowl. So we'll talk about that.
And we're in the first.
That's right. When we come back, however, it's Inside Access on 105.7 The Fan. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Thank you, Jones, Belair, Nissan, for the hospitality and for having us. Can't wait to get back here again. And to Chuck Sampienza for helping us out here with the engineering duties. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy. For now, class is dismissed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.